Turning your Bibles to the book of Mark, the 10th chapter. Mark chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. So we're not going to look at the story of the rich young ruler, but it's the start of the story of the rich young ruler as he comes to Jesus. Mark chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. Now he was going out on the road. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I might have inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." Now, like I said, I'm not looking at the story, but I'm looking at the idea of the good. Last Sunday, we talked about an unchanging God. And that he's always loving. This is kind of part two of that, an unchanging God. God is always, always good. But have you ever felt like God had almost like removed himself from this world? There's a movie came out a number of years ago, a secular movie called Bruce Almighty. And it had Jim Carrey and Morgan Freeman. And Morgan Freeman played God. And he was taking a break, so he put Jim Carrey as God for a little while. I'm not necessarily recommending the movie, but it's kind of a funny movie. But he just wanted to take a break from being God. Well, do we ever feel like God takes a break and he just leaves us alone and leaves the world alone? Well, some people certainly believe that God created the world, he flung it into space, and then just sat back to watch to see what was going to happen with that. Well, because after all, if some people would say, if God was involved in the world, why would so many things be happening in our world today? If God were truly good, then why did so many bad things happen? There's a book by James Dobson, and I'm thinking it's been a long time since I've read it, but I'm thinking it's Why Do Bad Things Happen, and there's other books that's similar to that. But you know, there are a lot of bad things that happen. There are a lot of things that happen right now. Why is it that a good, godly Christian person that's serving the Lord, faithful in their church, why is it that as a young person they die with cancer or die from a car wreck? And then we got these other crazy weirdos out there that have no belief in God whatsoever, and they just seem to thrive. Why do those things happen if God is good? Well, you ever ask yourself things like that in your life? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But how do we reconcile the bad habits of this world with the goodness of God? Is God asleep at times? The times that I would go to India and I would see the many Hindu temples and their weird looking shaped things with critters or animals or people or something all on them. And some of them have been there for centuries. And oftentimes I would say when I would go to India on a short term mission trip, if I was God, I would melt all those Hindu temples into the form of a cross and nothing could tear it down. But I'm not God, and it's a good thing I'm not God. But it's like, I wonder why God doesn't do something to really just come out and reveal himself to people. Is he cold-hearted? Is he mean-spirited, as some people might would say? Does God know and care about what is happening to us in Georgia, in the United States, in the world today? If he is eternally good, then why do we why do such bad things seem to happen to us? Well, Jesus seemed to be very confident about who God is. God is good all the time. There are three things I want to share with you, and I'm going to share a lot of scripture verses here, but I'm not necessarily wanting you to turn in your Bibles to them. If you're taking notes, just write it down, look it up later. But I'm going to read a lot of scripture verses here from different passages in the Bible. The first thing that I want to point out to you is the Bible declares God's goodness. In the book of Psalm 52, verse 1, The goodness of God endures continually. In Psalm 106, verse 1, praise the Lord. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Nahum, a little book in the Old Testament that you rarely, if ever, hear a sermon preached out of, but there's some good verses in there. Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. In Lamentations, verse 3, chapter 3, verse 25, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Psalm 145, verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are all over his works. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, 34, as we read in another passage there, says the same thing. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And then finally, Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now, sometimes you could read that verse and say, well, I ask for good things, and it seems like God doesn't give those good things. Maybe you're asking for the wrong reasons, or that you're asking for the wrong things. And God knows what's best for you. How many of you would like to have $1 million? Probably all of us would. But you know, if we ask God, say, God, give me $1 million, and he doesn't give it to us, does that mean he's not good? He is still good. He just knows we can't handle $1 million. We would probably spend it wastefully or whatever. But if you are a follower of Jesus, hopefully all of you are followers of Jesus, you cannot dismiss what the Bible says about God's goodness. In a clear, unmistakable terms, the Bible declares the goodness of God has he's always been good. He will always be good. He does not change. We talked about love last week, that he doesn't change in his love. He doesn't change in his goodness. Now, the second thing that I want you to see out of this is the world blurs his goodness. That's what the Jewish people had experienced in the Old Testament. They had seen the goodness of God, but it had gotten so blurred they couldn't see it real clearly. In Psalm 80, verses 4 through 6, says, O Lord of hosts, how long will you be angry against the prayer of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in great measure. You have made us a strife to our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. You see, the Jewish people, they had seen God's goodness, but it had gotten blurred because of various things, especially when they were going through the wilderness. They got blurred, and they couldn't see the goodness that God had given to them, how he had brought them out of Egypt. They knew, they believed that God was good, but the circumstances around them had blurred their goodness. Back in 1990, NASA sent a telescope called the Hubble telescope up into space. The idea, the intent was that it would get pictures from out in deep space and they'd be crystal clear because it wouldn't have to go through the Earth's atmosphere. And it circles the globe. It's still up there, by the way, circling around. It's 353 miles above our heads. It circles the globe at every 91 minutes, 5 miles per second. And when it got up there, there was a problem. The pictures came back blurry. And the reason they found out that the blurry pictures, fuzzy pictures, was a teeny tiny flaw in one of the mirrors on the telescope. And it could not reflect good pictures back. Well, eventually it was fixed. But it only took 3.5 years of work and a lot of planning in order to fix it. And when you spend millions of dollars and decades of work on something, you want it to work. But sometimes it gets messed up, and sometimes it gets blurred. And in the Old Testament, the goodness of God had gotten blurred by the circumstances, like was said there in Psalm 80. Now, if you think about a mirror, we all have a mirror in our house. Some of you ladies may have one in your purse. You probably, every one of us, looked at that mirror today, and we either, men combed our hair, or ladies combed their hair, or ladies put on their makeup, or looked to make sure that they're dressed right. We looked in the mirror. But what if the mirror was blurry? What if the mirror was fuzzy? What if it was faded out? Like some of you said you didn't have the power go off. We had the power went off this morning, and Terry said, I don't know that I can put my makeup on. I can't see myself in the mirror. Well, you know, mirrors can get fuzzy, and they can get cracked, and certainly, you know, they can get distorted. You ever been to a fair or an amusement park, and they have what's called a fun house, and they have these weird shaped mirrors, and you look at one mirror and it makes you look like you're tall and skinny, and you look at another mirror and it makes you look like you're short and fat. I mean, it's because the mirror is distorted and it's designed to do that. But things can get into our lives and get into our vision that we cannot see the goodness of God, and it interferes with are seeing His goodness. A beautiful Christian song that says, God is so good, God is so good, He is so good to me. Sometimes that's sung at camp meetings or children's camps. Sometimes it doesn't appear that way, that God is so good to us. But we have to decide, is God good, or is He just good, only good when He's good to me? When I was in college, for a while I would go home from Macon to Columbus every weekend. And we didn't have class on Wednesday, so sometimes I might would even go on Tuesday through Wednesday to go home. But one year we had one of those freak snowstorms like we had a few months back, and we had a little snow on the ground. Well, I thought, well, it's cleared up enough, I can go back to school. I get in my little bitty Honda Civic, which those cars then were little bitty Honda Civics, and I strike back out to Macon. I'm going down a hill and going around a curve, and the black ice on the road, I left the road and went sailing through the air and crashed down into a deep ravine and into a tree, and it bent every piece of metal on my little Honda Civic, totaled it. What good came out of that? Huh? I'm standing here because people that looked at it said, how in the world could you have possibly walked out of that traffic accident? The only thing that I had hurt, I had a few scratches on me, and years later I found out I really had a whiplash from it. But we actually pulled the car out. My dad was a mechanic. He checked it over, and even though the windshield was out and it was very cold, he said, I think you could drive it home, and we can see what we can do. Well, it drove down the road kind of at an angle, and another good that came out of it, we bought it back from the insurance company and rebuilt it. Now, it looked kind of funny, but we rebuilt it. It had 1 year model of a Honda Civic and another year model of a Honda Civic and another. It had about four different year models. But you see, there is good that can come out of even tragic situations. Again, go back to not long ago when Brenda's house burned down. She lost everything, lost her dog, lost her truck. What good came out of it? She's sitting there. You see, sometimes we can't see the good because of the blurriness, but we have to remember that God's always good, and if we let God be in control, He can clear up the blurriness that's there. So here's what we must determine. Is God good only when circumstances are good? Or is God good regardless of how much pain, how much hardship, how much suffering may be blurring our lives, blurring our seeing God's goodness? Now, the Bible declares His goodness, but the world blurs that goodness. The third thing I want you to see out of this is, Our faith trusts His goodness, God's goodness. Psalm 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him." Now, in order to trust in Him, we have to get up close and personal. We cannot see, we cannot understand God's goodness off at a lengthy distance from others and from ourselves, from God. Because of His goodness, we can be saved. In John 3:16, we know that verse. I think I said it last week. We know that verse. But the next verse, verse 17, says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." So because of God's goodness, we can be saved. Because of God's goodness, we can be forgiven of our past. Psalm 25:7 says, "Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord." Now think about this. When we confess our sins before God, He forgets them. He doesn't keep a little black book, and one day when we get to heaven, going to go, "In 2025, you did such and such. I remember that." He's not if you've confessed it. He forgets it, and He forgives us of our sin and our past. Because of His goodness, we can repent of our sin. Romans 2:4, "Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and the long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" And because of God's goodness, we can trust His plans and His purposes. Romans 8:28. Anybody know what that verse is? "And we know that in all things work together for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose." Rick Warren, who I'm not sure if he's still pastoring a church out in Texas, he wrote a book, I believe it was Purpose Driven Church, a number of years ago. Here's a quote from him. "The good that God intends for me is greater than the bad that happens to me." Do you believe that? Hopefully we do. And through our trust in Him and our faith in Him, we can. But that's what the Bible is saying. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him." Now, the first two statements that I made there, they're really without question. The Bible declares God's goodness. That's a fact. There's no question about that. The second one, the world blurs God's goodness. That's a fact. We know that. We can see that. It happened in the Bible. It happens today. But the only question is about the third statement. Will you allow your faith to trust in God's goodness even when you don't see it? Even when the circumstances don't show it, even when life seems to contradict it, do we trust in God's goodness? I just thought of another movie, one of the Indiana Jones movie, The Last Crusade. And there's a scene where he's reading this book and it says, "Step out on faith." And he looks and it looks like a deep ravine. And he says, "If I step out, I'll fall." But if he looks to one side after he throws some dirt on it, he can see there's a little bridge here. But he had to be trusting that there was a bridge that was there for him to go across. Life contradicts a lot of goodness that we see, and it blurs our vision. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Trust in Him, believe in Him, and come to Him. God is good. He has always been good. He will always be good. Think about the goodness that He has poured out into your life, into your family. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in things of the world, we forget about the goodness that He has given to us. We forget about, you know, even with the problems in our country and in our world, we could easily say, if we were in another country, it would be really worse. But God gives us a lot of goodness because he is a God that is always good to us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love that we talked about last week. Thank you for your goodness today. And Lord, even when that goodness gets blurred by the things of this world, thank you for always being there. Thank you for allowing us to put our faith in you and trust your goodness. Lord, you always want good for us, but we get sidetracked. Forgive us from getting sidetracked and getting off course. Father, I pray that you will guide us and direct us. Let us see your goodness this next week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.